Hey guys, Mike Tahan here, and before the show, I just wanted to take a moment to talk about our most recent partner, Ballpoint Marketing. Direct mail is a common way for people to start marketing for off-market deals, but standing out from all the other investors out there is never easy. That's where Ballpoint Marketing comes in. Ballpoint Marketing allows you to send actual pen-written letters to your marketing list. They legit have warehouses full of robots using ballpoint pens to write your letters. This comes along with all the smudges and pressure points of a handwritten letter, so it gives the same effect as if you had written them yourself at your kitchen table. If you go to ballpointmarketing.com, you can use our code MD5 and you will get 5% off your next order. 5% might not sound like a lot, but when you're sending thousands of dollars of letters like you need to be doing to get deals, that will add up very quickly. For example, if you're sending $5,000 of mailers next month, that's going to be $250 in savings. Anyways, go to ballpointmarketing.com and use our code MD5. That's M like Mike, D like Dahan, and the number 5 for 5% off your next order. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Collecting Keys Real Estate Investing Podcast with your host, Mike Dahan and Dan Austin. From wins, losses, horror stories, and tactics for optimizing your business, Mike and Dan take a real, uncensored deep dive into the ins and outs of running a full-time real estate investment and wholesaling business.
All right, now I'm good.
Now we're good.
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Want to avoid another situation where we have to do it a second time. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 15, the Collecting Keys Real Estate Investing Podcast. Here with Mike Dahan, that's me, and my business partner, Dan Austin.
That's me.
There you go. How things going, Dan? Been an interesting start to 2022. It's currently the second week. January 15th is what we're recording right now.
Yeah, that's good. I wouldn't describe it as interesting. I'd describe it as manifested.
Manifested. Look at you with the $2 words.
Right? Is I don't know. I feel
like that's not the hour of a word. Never mind. I take that back.
Yeah, that's $1.50. That's $1.50. It's big for me. Yeah. No, I feel like everything we did in 2021 is like working out. And I mean, it's definitely had some interesting leads and stuff like that, but getting contracts as planned and projects are progressing. Like we're in the groove, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. We're definitely not struggling. I mean, it's a good carryover from, you know, Christmas. A lot of the, we kind of heavily loaded our marketing going through Christmas, which resulted in no real opportunities during Christmas.
Right.
You know, there's some stuff that started to heat up since then. Cause I mean, I think a lot of people just pause during the holiday period. And then as the new year turns over, they start to get ready to go. Mm. But so this is maybe not as interesting for you. We've had some interesting stuff on the acquisition side. You know, we got another deal that we'll touch on here in a little bit. We got our second contract of the year, which came around super, super quickly. We're going to be trying to wholesale that one. And then we just had a lot of like weird conversations with like older leads.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. As things are like coming around, like, you know, it's funny because like one day they'll be like super warm and wanting to chat with us. And then the next day it'll snow, you know, like an inch. And they'll be like, I am never selling my house ever. Mm-hmm. You need to leave me alone. And then it'll be 40 degrees and then they're nice again. And it just makes it super, I don't know. Like the guys have been chasing spirits, it seems like, you
know, like, well, they're not dead yet. They're just old.
Yeah. And they're all, you know, addicted to getting these deals. So they're like chasing the high of the next one all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, as happens with this business, cause that is kind of the weird thing about this business is you never know when they're going to come together. So it is like addicting, honestly. And when things start to get moving, I don't know. I personally get like a high a little bit. I'm like, oh, you know, we got to like lock it down. We got to chase it. I mean, even over the one we got over Christmas, you know, we were just hanging out and the lady just texted me out of the blue. Like, hey, you're still interested in the deal. And it was literally like, you know, my blood pressure rise.
And
I was like, oh, yes, we got to go on it. You know, and all of a sudden I was like with friends and stuff. And I was like, it was actually kind of bad because, you know, I'm completely tuning out my wife, my friends and everything, trying to get this thing closed via text message. And you can see how people, like, if they're so reliant on that to make a living, cause I mean, the benefit for us, like if a deal goes sideways, that sucks, but you know, I'm still gonna put food on the table.
Right.
Imagine if you were like the kind of people that you didn't have that. You can see why there's like, oh, I'm addicted to my work and I can't,
you know, I neglect my family. Like, it makes sense how that could happen.
Totally. Yeah. If you're, or if you're like a wholesaler and you maybe do one deal a month and like, that's your, yeah. that's your big money for the next month to carry forward. Holy cow.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I mean, that's how you end up with the shady dudes who like, you know, do things like kidnap our sellers at closing and are, you know, getting involved in people's deals and trying to interject with sellers and start doing all the shady tactics that people do. But, you know, the fortunate thing is we're in a place that we don't have to do that. But if you're a one-man show and you need that fee to be coming in, you could get messy really, really quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would be... I don't know if I deal with that kind of stress very well. Some people do, though. Some people can deal with it, just not me.
Well, we were there not that long ago.
That's true. But we still had other income. We both had some portfolios and stuff like that coming in. Yeah. But I think it just speaks to, you know, some people are cut out for it. Some people maybe aren't. And you got to build a business a way that, you know, suits you, I guess, you know?
Yeah, that is true. It's been interesting just watching the guys deal with all that sort of stuff. Cause that's also the thing too, is everyone comes into the new year kind of with like church camp syndrome, right? Cause we had like our little goal setting meeting right at the beginning of the year and everyone sort of came out of that and was like, yeah, we're ready to go, you know? And they're like, they have like, everyone has like all these lofty goals. And, you know, we've gone through this before, so we kind of set them like, hey, let's be realistic about this. Like, you know, don't be counting your chickens before they're hatched.
Yeah.
Like, let's make sure that we actually have action steps to reach these and not get disappointed if we're not getting a weekly deal, right? You know, although that is a great expectation to have, you know, we're going, let's go by monthly instead, because we all know that this stuff comes in batches as well. You know, it's not uncommon for us to not get anything signed for 2 weeks, but then get like three deals in 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's really easy for like to set a goal and be like, that is awesome. And you start doing the numbers and you start backing into what that means to everybody. But it's easy. Yeah. It's just easy to say that as far, but the action steps in between, like, how are we going to get there? Cause this is where we got last year. If we're going to go there, we have to do more on the action steps.
Yep. Exactly. So we got that. And then we, have our one that we got last week all dispoed. We're going to be partnering up with a local younger investor on it. Which works out pretty well because, you know, he did exactly what you want to do if you want to find a deal, where he has checked in with me very regularly over the past like year and a half looking for an opportunity, even though he didn't necessarily have the money and stuff to put it together. He's just been keeping me updated about what he's wanting to do, where he's at financially, you know, showing that he's hungry. So sure enough, this good deal comes around and it's like, oh, actually, you did, you know, just reach out to me and we had this one come through. Do you want this one? And he said, yeah, and jumped on it. You know, they're a little inexperienced. They're new flippers. So basically the arrangement is, you know, they're buying it from us. We're going to help them with the down payment. We're going to help them get a better loan than they'd be able to get as new flippers to save some transactional costs. And they're going to pay for the rehab and they're going to control it. And then we're going to basically provide guidance on stuff that comes up. This is always, especially this is like a 100-year-old house, there's always weird stuff that comes up that, you know, needs to be solved.
Yeah.
It can be really intimidating if you're new.
Yeah. And making sure they're solving the right problems, not the wrong problems. Right. Mm-hmm. Especially when you know it's a 100-year-old house, you got to expect that there's going to be some of those weird issues. And so when you're kind of doing your budget, you know, you got to look at it like, well, if we have some of these weird issues, say it's 10% of our overall budget, like, do we need to go as high end? Do we need to go Chip and Joanne on this one? You know,
yeah,
maybe not.
Yeah.
Initially.
Exactly. Right. Well, and also usually at the price point of the house. I mean, this is in like a C class area, you know, so it's still going to be on the lower end of the price point in Spokane. So it's like, well, what's the expectation for that price point? You definitely don't need to go Chip and Joanna down there.
Yeah. Well, it's just so easy for new flippers. I mean, we've kind of gone higher end on some stuff, but we have a strategy with that. But it's easier. Like, you see a lot of folks on Instagram doing these flips and it's just like amazing. Like, damn, that's nicer than my house. Right. And either there's a couple different things. Like, sometimes they're in a high price point market and so it looks super cool, but you have to do that, right? You have to have the $12,000 refrigerator installed. Or they're just like going crazy on it and not actually making as much money as they should be because they're just trying to make it cool and cute.
Yeah, for sure. I got to say though, we need to have like a collective meeting as everyone that flips houses and decide on a different color scheme from the gray floor, the white cabinets and the white countertops and the, you know, just stainless steel appliances. You can pick a flipper house
from
far away. Like the second you pull it up on Zillow, you're like, oh yeah, that was a flipped house. Yeah. because they have the exact same color scheme and they use the wide angle shot to try and hide that it's not, you know, a 600 square foot house.
And if they get a little bit creative, they have like black hardware or gold hardware now, and so out of the standard nickel. But yeah, it's you're absolutely right about that. I was thinking about that the other day actually, because I was watching some of Thatch Nguyen's stuff. I love his stuff, right? And some of the apartments and how he does it. And he's just kind of going over why he picks certain things. And he had some like pretty sweet cabinets that he was talking more like kind of more of a builder grade. I was like, oh, those are pretty cool, actually, better than white shaker.
I know, exactly. Everyone does the same thing. And I mean, we do it too. And the problem is it's cheap, right? It's cheap as you can do.
Well, it's easy. You don't have to think about it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I would imagine at some point we're going to have to step it up and do something more unique, something cool.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people should at least have like a trademark. Like a lot of our rentals, we do like a bright accent on the outside or something to, you know, give it a little bit of character.
A little bit of pop.
Look exactly the same as every other house.
Yeah. I dread when white shaker and like monotone grays and stuff go out of style, because I'll have to rethink everything. It took me a long time to build style, that style anyways.
Yeah, right.
But I'm sure in a few years that'll go away. So we'll have to figure out something.
Yeah, right. But, so we got that one coming. And that, I guess point being with those people too, if you're a new flipper or a new wannabe investor, you're not sure how to get started or how to find a deal, literally find people that are finding deals on a regular basis and pester them just enough so that they think about you, but they're not annoyed by you.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The thing about these guys too is like they know what they're getting into. They're pretty realistic about it. So it's not like they're asking a billion questions, but they're at, you know, they're asking the right questions. And if you can realize that some of it is just like, that's just up to you to overcome and figure out, as opposed to just wanting to know every single detail. Cause I've talked to some people where they want to know like, well, what should I do for cabinets? I'm like, just go to the cabinet store and get like some builder grade stuff. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know your style. Like, just do it.
It seems so obvious to us.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was even the joke when I was walking it with them yesterday, as I was like, oh, you know, we're just going to like, you know, what we need to do is open this up. You know, you can remove this wall, probably have to put a beam in here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, Dan can get you the specifics. And I'm like, I don't know. It should all be relatively pretty simple.
They're just like, oh, what?
They're just like, I like how you keep saying it's simple. And I was like, honestly, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
We've done some weird stuff.
And this you move a few walls, knock down a few things, you get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The house will not, generally speaking, just fall over and disappear on you.
Generally, you hope.
Yeah, exactly.
So that one will be good. And then you had, so the flip's wrapping up. We should be, 2 weeks from that now?
It might be, it just depends on some of the products, like material issues and stuff like that coming in. But it's moving along. I just talked to our guy yesterday and all of the basement is done. He's just got to paint it now, do texture and paint. And that's like the big part, right? Cause there's all this slow process of drywalling and wiring and plumbing that you never see. So he's past that. And so looking forward to, probably by the end of next week, the basement will be all trimmed out and just ready for our flooring, which we're just doing carpet and some LVP in the bathroom down there. So it'll go pretty quickly. And then upstairs is just putting things back together. Cabinets arrive next Wednesday. And so, it's going to go fast from here. Like all the pretty stuff goes in now.
Nice. There we go. So, I like it. Yep. So cool. Right on.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to bring up this week, which I think is really pertinent as we've seen more and more competition coming into the market as well. I've noticed, classic new year, right? Everyone's like, I'm going to be a real estate investor this year. So there's been tons of new people jumping in, starting to market, you know, and some people actually pulling some stuff together too. Like there are a lot of people I see on social media that are names that have been involved in the community for a while, but haven't actually done anything yet or actually starting to take action. You know, new year, new them. See how long that lasts.
Right,
as they start flushing huge amounts of money down the toilet on their marketing. Yeah. But one of the things that's kind of funny that I hear all the time on stuff is how competitive off-market real estate is and how things like direct mail or cold calling or whatever are all saturated. And, you know, people always say, well, how are you supposed to compete, you know, with people like us? And, you know, or like the larger groups that are already established. And first thing I'll say is you're not, because we're going to have systems and stuff set up that are going to beat, you know, the onesie, twosie sort of mailing people. But step two to that is it doesn't mean you can't establish your own systems. And that's going to be kind of like the key if you want to take this seriously and compete with the people that are already established. And one of the easiest ways, I think, to remain more competitive, and this is what the guys found out firsthand this past week, is being responsive and really jumping on when opportunities do come up and not procrastinating. You know, and this goes for when you have an established business and when you're starting out. Because we got a deal this past week, the contract that we got, where I found out after the fact that both of our main competitors in town had also received calls from these people. These people were, it was just a sitter of a deal, right? Mm-hmm. They literally texted us off of one of our mailers and said, "Hey, here's my address. I need to sell this property ASAP." That's all it said. And I was like, "Oh, that's like the best
there it is. You can get, right? That's the one I want."
You know? Yeah. So we got that text in, you know, into our system. We have all of our guys have alerts set up, so they are notified immediately when things come in. You know, kind of our standard we like to push is you want to be contacting a new lead within an hour of it coming in. And of course, this lead came in at like 6 o'clock at night or something. So it came in, James saw it, our sales guy, jumped on it, was out there, you know, almost immediately meeting with these people. And then we had an offer and we sat around within the next day. Right. So the whole thing was like, you know, less than 24 hours from a contact to a contact.
That's awesome.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So you get a handful of those a year and you got to take advantage of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But point being, we got this and then talking to some of our competitors, we're all friendly in town, chatting with them. And they're like, "Oh yeah, we had that deal in our systems." Like, "Yeah, we hadn't called them yet." It's like, "Well, you missed out, man."
You missed out.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sure there was a lot of other people too that they had called because these people were desperate. You know, the house is in a rough part of town, terrible condition. They inherited it. They need the money to go and do whatever the hell they're going to do. And you know, the point being that if you're going to spend the money, have the systems in place to follow up, you know, and to be jumping on things immediately. Like I said at the start too, if an opportunity comes up, you need to go now because they will be calling other people.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. You're not the only one with that data, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
you know, and there's people that are, I mean, this sort of depends on where you're at in your life, I guess, but there are people like, "Oh, you know, I was eating dinner. You know, I was like working out. I was doing whatever when that lead came in. So I missed it." It's like, you know, I think it's David Green that says this on Bigger Pockets with his realtor. Say that he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Is that a $25,000 sandwich that you're eating?"
I love that. No, too. That's so true. Yep.
No, it's not. It's like, and sure, it sucks. You got to drop your life to jump on this. But if you seriously want to do this business, especially when you're starting out and you're competing with people that have more resources, you have to do that. Mm-hmm. You have to put down that sandwich and get in the car and drive to the house and meet with these sellers immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, like if you're working in the real estate industry, like you don't work on a clock, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you work on when your customer, when your clients, when your sellers, when your buyers are working or not working, right? Because that's when they're communicating with you. And if you can't, you're going to miss quite a few opportunities out there, which is unfortunate.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing, yeah, it's a thing that with real estate, you know, with this business, you do have the freedom to kind of have a very flexible schedule, but you have to be extremely reactive to stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go play golf on a Thursday, but tell you what, if you're finishing up that back nine and a seller calls you and says, "I need to sell ASAP," you're telling your buddy, "Sorry, I'm going home."
Right.
Like, "I got to leave. I can't play the second nine with you and wait 2 hours because I'm going to miss out on this potentially $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 deal." Unless, you know, nine holes of golf is worth 40 grand to you. In which case,
I guess it depends on how much you're betting with your buddies, but how much you got on the line.
Right? Yeah. But I mean, honestly, if you're in that situation, why the hell are you trying to wholesale houses? Go find something else to do.
Right. Yeah, no shit. Exactly.
But
yeah.
You know, that's a huge, huge, huge thing. I mean, even when I've been traveling overseas and stuff, like I've been in Florida with my friends, you know, playing spike ball on the beach, and I'll get like a call that, you know, I need to take this response, like, you know, some sort of response to a lead or something. And I'll be like, "I'm sorry, guys, we got to pause this for 10 minutes so I can go do this." You know, and they gave me a hard time and everyone's like, "I don't like when people do that." It's like, well, you know what? You're going to like it when you're receiving a 5-figure check for that deal that you just closed while you're playing spike ball.
Yeah, it's worth it to me. I mean, even where we're at with our business, like you and I still both have to jump out to do things or take care of issues, right? That's just how it is. And that's what it is being kind of a small business owner. But especially when you're starting out, you can't just automate everything. Like you can't think of it in the terms of like, oh, this is a 9-to-5 job. I own a bakery or whatever. I don't know. Like where you can just have employees do everything. Like you got to be really responsive on top of it.
Yep, exactly. And you know, and if you don't have that flexibility, like yourself all the time, realistically, you got to find a business partner. You got to find an employee so you can, you know, when you're not available, they're not available, you guys can trade off. You know, you and I do that on stuff all the time. You know, I do that with our sales team all the time. I mean, that one that we got over Christmas, they weren't responding. They were all on their Christmas break. I mean, in an ideal world as a business owner, I would have loved if they were like, don't worry, I got this. But of course they're not going to do that. We just told them they could go on vacation.
Yeah. And like the expectation you shouldn't have is that they'll do it. Cause we did just tell them like, hey, 2 weeks off. Don't even think about work. You got other stuff to worry about, family and, you know, projects and stuff like that. And so it's like, you know, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You step in and crush it. And then you make fun of them when you got a deal when they were on vacation.
Right. And then, you know, you don't give them their commissions and you slap it in their face when you're paying yourself their commissions. That's
exactly
good. Right. Capitalist America there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get a new employee on January 1st.
Oh man. So anyway, I think that was a big sort of lesson learned today. And the thing that that really did warm my heart though, was the guys heard that we beat out the competitors and how freaking amped they were.
Yeah,
about that. And I'm like, that makes me happy.
You know? But, and it's proof of concept on action steps, right? Yeah. Talking about stuff that we talk about to, you know, when we were doing goal setting of like, how do you get to that? Right? So those back to those action steps, like that's one way, speed to lead, right? So,
Exactly. So yeah, it'll be an interesting one to try and move because it is a dumpy house. But I mean, we are getting it at a great price. I mean, the thing needs like 70 grand worth of work. But you know, the upside in this area is like 250-ish, 260-ish.
So, yeah, so there's some meat. There's some meat for sure.
Yeah. We're down pretty low on our offer, but I'm not going to share the exact number because we're trying to assign it right now.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, so it should be a good one. Anyway, that was a big lesson learned. I think you said a proof of concept there. Yeah. What else you got, Dan? You've had a few people reach out. We've been having a lot of people reach out to us recently. We've actually started working with a couple people remotely in different markets who want to basically build our business. You know, we've had a couple be like, hey, do you guys offer coaching? Mm-hmm. And we haven't. But now that enough people have reached out, we're like, well, maybe we should.
Right. Yeah.
So if you have an interest, let us know. We're working on some different material and processes here about how to get you started in this business. And I think the one thing that we are touting, which is true, is if you sort of come with us and you start going through our processes, we can have you working leads within 2 weeks, going from nothing to talking to motivated sellers within two weeks. So, and we're going to throw you into the fire. You're going to learn hard. It is going to cost you a little bit of money to get this thing going. But I mean, if you're serious and you want to talk to sellers, we can get you there very, very quickly.
Which is maybe a little intimidating to people that are starting from zero to start talking to leads in 2 weeks. Like, well, I don't have a business yet. I don't even know the process. And I've talked to quite a few new people where they're even just asking questions about like, well, what do you do once you get under contract and all that sort of stuff? The reason why we think getting leads sooner is important because it takes a while to work these leads. And if you spend 4, 5, 6 months, like building your brand, building your business, you're just spending money and you're not actually doing the core part of the business, which is talking to sellers.
Yeah. When you're exactly. And you're wasting time. I mean, we've been parts of groups where they're like, first thing you got to do is you got to build an LLC and you get a logo and you get a website and all sorts of stuff. It's like, yeah, that's great. And that's important. But people get so hung up on those non-revenue producing tasks. And it's like, okay, now you haven't actually done anything. You wasted a bunch of time when you should have been talking to sellers. And I guess what we're doing with the people that we're working with is actual direct coaching with them. So like, you know, like the guys I'm working with, I'm on Zoom with them, you know, at least once a week, sort of going through the processes, what they're working on, you know, walking through how to get the leads coming in, how to work the leads, how to do everything. And then, you know, how should they follow up with these people? You know, when they do get a contract signed around, what steps are going to be next and how to figure all that out. So, you know, it's kind of like, honestly, it's kind of like a mentorship, I guess, where we're going to help them go along the way. And it's not just like, oh, throwing you completely into the fire and you're on your own. But
Yeah. And it's like, again, it can kind of be intimidating. And I talked to a handful of newer investors that are reaching out. And like when Mike and I say reach out, definitely do it. Like we always say that, like when I'm on other podcasts or even on our podcast, we say it. But like just hit us up in the DMs or whatever. And we will respond. Just like I have been this week to several different people. And one of them was like a younger gal, thinking about getting into wholesaling and, you know, I was, you know, trying to explain to her kind of the process and high level stuff. And, you know, I think there could be still be some questions for newer people, like why wholesaling, what's wholesaling? Cause most people come in, they're like, I want to buy units or I want to flip houses or I want to do both. Well, realistically, if you're younger, you're newer, maybe you don't have your capital built up, like buying a house to flip is like super hard because you got to be able to buy a house. And if you don't even own a house yourself, you might not even qualify or be able to, from a financial standpoint, to buy a flip property. Like it's just not that cut and dry. You need more money. And I think about it this way, like in terms of like why wholesaling for a lot of people, like even if you make $100,000 a year job, right? That's a decent income. That's probably double the national average of household income. It's still really hard to build capital up to go and put 20% down on a rental property or go and put 20% down on a flip and then fund the rehab. And, you know, if you just back into it, it's like, okay, $100,000, maybe your effective tax is like 15%. So now you're playing with $85,000 after you paid taxes. And then you've got some sort of living expenses, whether that's rent or maybe you do own a house, like a mortgage, that if you're all in is like 15,000 or 1500 a month, you're at, what is that? 18,000. You start backing it down and maybe you have a car payment of like $400 a month. You start backing it down to where maybe you can save $1,000 a month, which is great. That's $12,000 a year. If you're going to buy a $200,000 property, that's 2 years of saving without any whoopsies or issues. And so you start thinking about it in terms of that. If you want to take action now, saving for 2 years to maybe get an opportunity to flip a house and you're just dedicated to saving and you're looking at deals, but you can't do anything with them. You're really hindering yourself. And so why wholesaling is because you can start that. You do need some money to start. Like you've got to pay for marketing and you got to pay for some things that start up. But what Mike and I are saying is in, you know, two weeks all the way up to like 3 months, like you're going to be collecting fees because you're going to be talking to deals and or to leads, and then you're going to be getting deals. And if you can close a deal in 1 month, that's $15,000. That covers what you were saving in a whole year. You can start seeing how quickly you can scale with wholesaling where you never even have to take title of a property. But you can now build up your coffers. And if you want to traditionally go out and buy a house with 20% down and flip it or use it as a rental, now you have the cash. Or now you're in front of good leads, good deals for yourself to take down.
Yeah, exactly. I think that I don't remember what personal finance book I read, but they talked about kind of what you were saying there. There's like kind of the three sort of forms of income for building wealth, like kind of like the process they had. It's like you need your consistent income that you live off of, which is like your W-2 job. You know, for most people, right? Then you need some form of massive income producing activity. Whether that's like, you know, people have said that basically isn't going to go towards your living expenses, whether that's flipping a house, wholesaling a house, you know, having some sort of side business, you know, even doing things like driving for Uber, which aren't necessarily massive, but that's all, the whole point is all extra money. It's like going towards like your investment pot, right? And then you take the surplus money from that and from your W-2 job that you live off of, and you can combine those to invest to build wealth, right?
Yeah.
But then the whole premise of what they're looking at is you can't really control your W-2 income. You can control what you save from that, but that's limited after an extent, right? You can control what your massive income producing task is, you know? So the whole thing is you survive your W-2 and you focus your time on whatever that massive income producing task is. And then, especially once you're starting, you take all that extra income and that's what you invest, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to saying, I only have the singular form of income that I'm going to try and scrape together and save and have all my kids live off of ramen and live in a cardboard box from Lowe's in the corner so that we can save money on housing. That's sort of like the broke mindset, right? Instead of seizing the opportunity mindset from finding that larger income producing task. And if you're not sure what that is and you want it to be real estate, like going back to before, find people that do know how to do that and start working with them. Yep. You know, whether that's, you know, finding a coach that's going to a local meetup and finding a flip or to partner with, where, you know, there's kind of like the trifecta of things you need to deal. You need money, you need hustle, you need knowledge, right? If you don't have the knowledge and you don't have the money, then you better be in the hustle and you show up and you work for these people that are doing something, right? Yep. You know, and everyone always says, people always say this to me. They're like, well, you don't have kids, you know, all this stuff. I don't know. Fuck, man, you have kids. You figure it out.
Yeah. Like, I've got kids, a job. I got a lot of stuff. You figure it out. And I still, you know, have time to do things. I like to think of it when you're talking about like building these relationships. This is a good, maybe a good way for people to put it in terms of is like, what is the lifetime value of a relationship with somebody?
Exactly.
Because like, that's like maybe feel selfish, like, oh, I'm just looking for this person for what they can give me. But then in, flip it around and like, what is your lifetime value to that person? And so when you're networking with people, if you look at it in terms of lifetime value, like what is that value you can provide them? Because in turn, there's an expectation that they're going to provide you value and vice versa. That's how relationships work. And so if you can go connect with people and provide them value, they're going to reciprocate unless they're just a butthole trying to take advantage of you, which I guess there's probably people out there. But generally speaking, I don't know what you think, Mike, but I don't run into too many of those people out there where they don't want to reciprocate.
Yeah, it's very few and far between. I mean, and I found too that people that are, you know, as they get more established, I mean, I put me in this camp a little bit now. I almost get more fulfillment out of like helping other people get stuff going than like my own things, because, you know, me and, you know, you and our business and stuff getting deals isn't really like exciting anymore. I mean, like it is, but it's an expectation.
Yeah.
You know, it's no longer a surprise. So now when I can take that same knowledge and go and help somebody else get something and make money, right? That's like cool, you know, because you can see the excitement, right? You can feel the excitement that they have, because you're like, yeah, you just made, you know, $25,000, you know, and your current salary is 60 grand. You just made half your salary in like a, you know, 2-month deal. That's all extra money for you. You know?
Yeah, it is cool to be able to do that. And then also, you know, kind of gives you a little bit of proof that the systems we're building work, not just for us. Mm-hmm. It's like, sometimes you think as a business owner, like, am I the only reason, and this is not to be arrogant, but am I the only reason this works? Mm-hmm. Like, am I unique? And you worry about that because you're like, well, I can't step away then if it's me. Yeah. If the business is me, then you're kind of in trouble, right? As far as scaling and growing. So then if you can kind of apply those same concepts to somebody else and they can do it, you're like, oh, that is pretty sweet. And then when you can like light up somebody's eyes and see them like, yeah, I was only making 60 grand a year and I just learned how to make 25. And once you learn how to make money on your own, it's pretty life altering.
It is, for sure. And you realize it's not actually that complicated.
Yeah.
But you know,
And then you start poking holes in the systems that you've been operating in the rest of your whole life before that. And you're like, wow, there's a whole nother way out there.
Yeah, exactly. But, and I guess one thing to backtrack really quick on there was the last comment. When people are starting out, we've found this a lot too, is people tend to be afraid to spend money to learn and to like join groups and to do all this sort of stuff. I mean, you should be like skeptical, because a lot of people will ask for money and not actually have a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. But I can say that, I mean, I remember even back when we first started joining masterminds and stuff, we'd be like, man, $5,000, like that's like a lot of money we're going to be paying. Yeah. But now we have groups that we pay monthly to be in. We paid large, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 to be in. And we know we pay, you know, additional money to go to weekend events and like do all this sort of stuff to be part of that group. You know, and we put a lot of money out, but the money that's come back is hundredfold, more than that, thousandfold on some of those things, right? Yep. So it becomes a no-brainer. And it's like you said, what's the value of that relationship? It's like, well, the value of the initial relationship is $5,000. Right. But the value, you know, $5,000 out of your pocket. But then if the value long-term for you is $500,000 in revenue you're able to make, or $5 million in net worth, that's obviously a very easy investment. Like if I could, you know, if somebody said to you, give me $5,000 and in 5 years, you're going to be worth $5 million. Most people wouldn't do that.
You know? No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. But if you have the ability to look backwards, which we do at this point on that topic, is you would 100% make that investment.
Yeah.
And you only think about it. And like, I'm a person, I hate spending money. Mike knows this about me. Like I hate the process of spending money, even on little things. And I've had to work through that on certain areas in my life of spending the earnings that I have. And, I could tell you there's certain areas where you should spend your money and your time. 'Cause then you don't just talk about the dollars, but the dollar productive activities. Is it worth your time to spend every waking moment trying to figure things out on your own? Or is it worth your time to spend 40 hours and be a somewhat of an expert at some level?
Yeah, exactly. So cool. I think it's a good place to finish. Anyway, if you guys wanted to reach out to us about that, please do. Easiest place to do it is on Instagram. You can find me at Mike_invest. You can find Dan at InvestorManDan. You can follow the podcast at Collecting Keys Podcast on Instagram. And if you want to get our ebook, which is the 5-step guide to generating off-market leads, which will kind of get you started right away without a lot of the direct guidance that we would give you if you reach out to us directly. You can go to our website, collectingkeyspodcast.com, put in your email, get that ebook. And besides that, any last minute thoughts, Dan?
No, I'm happy to go out and hopefully going to go look at a new prospect on an 8-unit for us here in a little bit. Mm-hmm. If I can hear back from our guy.
Yeah, here's the other thing about value of relationships. We had somebody approach us with an 8-unit apartment complex that they approached us with directly because we have built a relationship with these people over the past several years.
Yes.
And this can be one that if it comes together, you know, we have paid these people money, they've paid us money, and it could be a multi-6-figure deal for us if it comes together. It's a big
yes. deal. It has billboards.
It does have billboards.
I love it.
But, you know, but as I was saying, we can't count the chickens before they hatch. So
100%.
Yeah. Anyways, all right, guys. All right. Thanks for listening. Reach out to us in the DMs and talk to you guys next week.
All right. See y'all.
Thanks for listening. Please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And check us out at collectingkeyspodcast.com for tips and guides on starting your own real estate investment and wholesaling business.